Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here we go again with the fake news media covering the illegal aliens. You guys remember, hey, Maryland man. Now they've got, hey, Helena man. Yeah, the Maryland man was not a Maryland man. He was a criminal, illegal alien, gangbanger, thug, human trafficking suspect from El Salvador. You know, the guy named Kilmore. That's the guy they kept calling Maryland man. Even the Montana Television Network, I would see on their Facebook pages. And it was probably just them following the script of their Scripps ownership. Maryland man. And I commented, I was like, he's not a Maryland man. He's from El Salvador. Whatever happened to facts in news coverage? Sticking to the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. It's like, does Scripps force you guys to follow the liberal script, the Democrat Party talking points? No. Can't call the El Salvador man El Salvador man. You got to call the Maryland man. No. You have to refer to him as a her, and you have to refer to him as her as a him, and him as a her, right? Well, here they go. So I saw this story yesterday, and I thought, looks like they picked up the wrong guy. They thought he was an illegal alien. He wasn't. So instead, they arrested the wrong guy, and, you know, that'll happen. I mean, are there white dudes that get mistaken for the wrong guy? Pretty sure that happens all across the country, that law enforcement, you know, puts a guy in handcuffs and he's a white guy, and they think, oh, sorry, bro, we thought you were another guy. Okay, hey, oh, man, we're all good now. No national attention every time that happens. But that's not even what happened here. So I'm reading through this gobbledygook that was posted by the Montana Television Network. Here's their headline. ICE arrested a Helena man after mistaking him for another person. Now, in fairness to the reporters who authored this story, they may not have written the headline. It might have been one of their woke social media editors or something like that, one of their woke digital editors. So I'm thinking, okay, Helena man. All right, well, let's read the story here. Helena resident Christopher Martinez, a 31-year-old who is a citizen of Mexico, was taken into federal immigration custody on Tuesday after being mistaken for another person sought by law enforcement. According to Helena police, this is the first incident of its kind they are aware of this year. Anyway, so you read through this story, and officers saw a man they believed to match the suspect's description. So they were looking for one illegal alien, and they stumble upon another. Helena police conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle, which was found to have expired registration. That's where this Martinez guy comes in here. Well, as they start to look into Martinez's background here, it turns out apparently he was wanted on a federal detainer. And he's not a Helena man. He is from Mexico. So yet, why do they keep calling him a Helena man? And why was he wanted on a federal detainer? That's just some of the questions we have here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Phone lines are open. Back right after this.
It's July 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Anisette Day. For fans of black jelly beans or black licorice, you're already familiar with the flavor of the anise herb. A favorite mixer in drinks ranging from coffee to alcohol, anisette is extremely popular in countries like Spain, Portugal, Italy, and France. One warning, however, it's never a smart idea to drink straight anise. Its high alcohol content can be very irritating to the throat. Also on this date in 1962, Sam Walton opened the first Walmart in Rogers, Arkansas. In 1964, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts into law. And in 1979, the Susan B. Anthony dollar coin was issued. It will be the first U.S. coin to honor a woman. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first African-American to sit on the Supreme Court, Thurgood Marshall, born in 1908, and the king of NASCAR, Richard Petty, born in 1937. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
No jury decision has been announced, but Tuesday, the eight men and four women told the judge they were unanimous on the two charges each of sex trafficking and transportation for prostitution. However, it is split on the racketeering charge. To what degree is not known. The jury's note to the judge indicates that some members were unpersuadable. The judge agreed with the lawyers on both sides that 2 days, considering complicated evidence, is too soon to settle on a deadlocked charge. One family friend said Combs is feeling anxious about the decision to come. In New York City, Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and come.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so you've got two different stories here, both where the fake news media in Montana once again calls him a Helena man. Now, whether, you know, folks are going to be sympathetic to his case or not, he's not a Helena man. He is a Mexico man. The Lee newspapers, the liberal Lee newspapers, has this headline: Helena man detained by ICE during traffic stop, sparking protest. So 12 of his friends showed up to protest the illegal alien getting detained. That's the story there. And then I've been telling you about this Montana Television Network story. So it's just amazing to me. You read both of these stories, and they go through all sorts of gobbledygook to try to confuse the readers or the viewers of what the story actually is here. They want you to think that some Helena guy got picked up inadvertently and is being detained, even though he's not the illegal alien they were looking for. The guy is from Mexico. He is wanted on a federal detainer. When he was pulled over by law enforcement, he had expired registration. They do a background check on the guy. They find out he's wanted on a federal detainer. Look, if you are in this country illegally, what else do you expect is going to happen here? It's just amazing to me the way the Montana media will pull the same type of CNN, MSNBC, Adam Schiff here to try to, you know, basically confuse the storyline and pump out a fake narrative, essentially, here. Anyway, let's go into the phone lines, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Let's go to Mike in Big Timber first up here this hour. Mike, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Sounds like that wasn't the drone they were looking for. Never mind. The question I have, did the Senate bill exclude funding for Medicare for illegal aliens? And the second question is it outside the president's authority, or can he line item veto if that thing ever gets to his desk?
Yeah, good. Well, the president can't line item veto. You know, the governor here in Montana is allowed to line item veto. That's why he was able to line item out a whole, you know, hundreds of millions of spending from the state budget that was put on his desk. The president cannot. You know, the Republicans back in the 90s wanted that line item veto authority, got overruled by the Supreme Court, if I remember correctly. So he can't line item veto out. Now, but your question about, because there's so many great things that are included in this one big beautiful bill. We're going to talk more about the one big beautiful bill later in the 9 o'clock hour. I talked energy issues in particular with Congressman Troy Downing that I'll share later. But so that's where this parliamentarian comes to play here, this Harry Reid appointed parliamentarian. She ruled that no, that provision denying taxpayer dollars for Medicaid to illegal aliens cannot be included in the one big beautiful bill. It can't be included in what's called this 50-vote only, you know, the simple majority only reconciliation vote. But I swore, I saw something on X, and now I got to scroll back probably a couple of days now, where it was Mike Lee or somebody was explaining how actually, yes, the Big Beautiful Bill will block your taxpayer funds from going to illegal aliens getting Medicaid, and you know, the parliamentarian rule actually doesn't change that. But I need to go find the specific language for where that is mentioned. But that's your understanding as well.
Yes, it was, Aaron. That was my understanding. One last thing. How about the Caldera Calaboose?
The Caldera Calaboose. Now, you're using all these big words. Tell us about a calaboose. What's a calaboose?
It's the same thing as a jail.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. So I didn't see that. Yeah. You learn something every day around here. So the Caldera Calaboose. All right, now I gotta let our friends from Kalispell and Great Falls in on the joke here. So if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, or if you go to facebook.com/Flint Report, you know, we had a great message from Right on John earlier this morning. And so I threw out the question, if we had a Florida-style alligator Alcatraz in Montana, what would we call it? And Tim in Billings says to call it the Grizzly Gitmo. Right on John is going with Carnivore Island. There's all sorts of great ones coming in right now. Let's see. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Lee in Kalispell. What's going on, Lee?
Hey, yeah, sir. This deals with something I heard last Saturday. Whether I turned on the radio or turned on the TV, and they were talking about what you guys just were talking about, people on illegals on Medicare and Medicaid, and the transitioners we have to pay for their transition to another, you know, getting their bodies changed. Anyway, so I got tired of listening to it, so I turned another station. And they were talking about the illegals again. And this time it was all the children that were being taken away from their parents by the Trump administration. And I'm telling you, you have to be kidding me. Considered that on the Border Patrol were taking care of the kids when they were doing their jobs. When under Biden,
Joe Biden lost hundreds of thousands of kids in his human trafficking operation on the southern border. Hundreds of thousands of kids went missing, many likely in the arms of sex traffickers because of his open border human trafficking operation. Yeah, Lee, thanks for the call. Quick break. Back to it right after this.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. We all get inundated with airline credit card offers. The perks of credit cards tied to a single airline include hefty sign-up bonuses, free check bags, and often these benefits can pay for themselves. Still, travel experts say you should be cautious, especially if you are a frequent flyer who already earns status with an airline. These travelers most times get the same perks without the card, like free check bags. Since many airline credit cards come with an annual fee, which can range from $95 to $550, that redundancy can represent wasted money. However, for a family that travels once or twice a year, if they get a credit card with the airline that they tend to fly, those free check bags alone could more than pay for the annual fee, according to Bankrate. But keep in mind, booking a flight with miles or points doesn't make it free. Travelers still have to pay out-of-pocket for taxes, fees, and surcharges. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Well, it already passed in the United States House of Representatives, and just after we wrapped up Tuesday's Montana Talks, the breaking news came out. The One Big Beautiful Bill has now passed the Senate as well, all in advance of President Trump's 4th of July deadline. Hey, maybe we'll talk about that on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Maybe you got something else you want to talk about. Phone lines open for you, and who knows, maybe we'll sneak in a guest or two as well. Wednesday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Where it's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I gotta see where. I thought I posted something on X a couple of days ago or so. I know somebody, maybe Stephen Miller, somebody, or Mike Lee, I can't remember who it was, but I remember they were saying that that even though the parliamentarian basically tried to strike the provision from the One Big Beautiful Bill in the Senate that would deny illegal aliens Medicaid benefits, that they were able to, that it's still in the bill anyway. Now, of course, it was in the House version, but as I understand it, it still is in the Senate version. But I just need to track down the source on that and why, what their specific reasoning was for why it was still included despite the parliamentarians' move. So anyway, but yeah, I'm confident that that one is in there. We're going to talk a lot more about the One Big Beautiful Bill in the 9 o'clock hour and the Montana-specific stuff. First, though, let's go back into the phone lines. Clint in Bozeman, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, what's on my mind is the homeless people here in Bozeman.
Yeah, all the transient campers and everything all over the place, especially out on those county roads. The county's now trying to figure out what they can do to stop all the kind of the transient invasion, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the thing is this here. They never mention this. I got a granddaughter in Bozeman, and I got a granddaughter in Belgrade. My granddaughter in Bozeman is paying $1,800 a month in rent, and that's not counting her power or her sewer or her water. Now, the same goes for my granddaughter down in Belgrade. Now, these folks all have homes. And they got good jobs, $25, $30 an hour. I've talked to some of the people that's in these campers and one thing or another, and they're working for either $15 to $20 an hour, and they can't afford here in the city of Bozeman. They cannot afford an apartment or a home of some kind to live in. So I got a suggestion for the city and the county. And they bitch about and they want to fine them $400 or $500. Well, they don't have the money, and I think that's plumb stupid. Those folks that are working, most of them I've talked to, a lot of them are working, that are in these campers and whatever. I think the proper thing to do is provide them a big dumpster and a couple of outhouses or whatever. And the reason I'm saying this is because those people that are working are paying taxes. They can't afford a home. But they're paying taxes into the state and the county and the federal government.
So by putting some trash collection bins out there, maybe that will help clean up a lot of the trash that oftentimes piles up and gets left behind from kind of these transient camps. Yeah, that's a good idea there. I think the city tried to do that, and then even still, there was a lot of trash left behind. But I would say, though, Clint, that you are right. I know there are some, there's some folks that... That might be a little questionable that are in some of these transient encampments, but there's also some good, hardworking folks that are in there as well that are just trying to find a place to put their head at night while they fill a job. And that's why the anti-development policies of these liberal cities like Bozeman can be such a challenge and end up making it harder to address housing affordability issues. All right, Clint, great to hear from you. Sorry to cut it a little short, but we've got a great guest now with us, and then we'll get back to your phone calls here in just a couple of minutes. Evan Brown is the Fox News radio correspondent covering sunny South Florida. Evan, did you make it out to Alligator Alcatraz yesterday?
I did not go myself, but I have been there, been in that area plenty of times, so I know where it is.
Yeah, apparently there's a massive airstrip out there already ready to go. Anyway, talk about the president's visit along with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Secretary Noem to Alligator Alcatraz.
Certainly. So this is a cool facility, I guess, that the state of Florida built within the period of about a week. To house criminal migrants on behalf of ICE. It's built on a former aircraft training facility that at one point was designed initially to be a big airport called Everglades Jetport. It never really got realized as that, but it has a very large runway, large enough for a 747. In fact, when it was a training facility, it was used by some of the older airlines, like I think Pan Am and Eastern, to train jet pilots on 747s. And so yesterday it actually hosted a modified 747 known as Air Force One. That's how the president came to visit. He flew right into this facility, and that's how he left. But the state of Florida popped up a facility to house up to 5,000 people on behalf of ICE, where they can, these are people who are not just migrants, but criminals, people who have also been convicted of or suspected of things like murders and assaults and drug running and whatnot. They can be held there. They will be able to have their immigration proceedings there because the Florida National Guard's Judge Advocate General Corps will be deputized as immigration judges. And then when they are given deportation orders, they can be flown out from this facility. So they never really have to go anywhere else once they're there. And it's way out in the Everglades, even farther from Miami than the old ValuJet crash site, if you remember that from the 1990s. It's a great use of a facility that's been going unused for many years, and Florida put the, you know, footed the cost of building it, and it will cost, I think, about $400 or so million a year to operate, but there'll be some federal reimbursement for a lot of that, if not all of it, and the state is happy to do it. President Trump was very impressed by the facility, and he hopes that it's a model for other states that have expressed interest in helping to accommodate ICE for things like bed space and facility space.
Yeah, we've been having a little fun with the naming of the facility back here in Montana with the Alligator Alcatraz name, and we've been having a little fun. If we had our own Alligator Alcatraz in Montana, what would we call it? Somebody wanted to call it the train station with the Yellowstone TV show reference. Let's see, what were the other two that came in here? Grizzly Gitmo was from Tim and Billings, and then right on...
Someone else has used the term Gator Gitmo for this.
Gator Gitmo. Okay, great. Well, we got Grizzly Gitmo. We got that copyrighted back here, though, so don't steal that one from us. Yeah. That point about the National Guard, the JAG lawyers basically being deputized to help out with these proceedings, a lot of people don't understand how the immigration process works. It's not just your local district court judges that do this. The immigration judges are through the Department of Justice.
It's an immigration court through the immigration proceedings. It's actually not judicial. It's a matter of a State Department more than anything. With that, these lawyers can be used in that regard to serve as hearing officers or as representation as well. And it's going to perhaps, I think the idea here is to streamline the process and kind of make it a one-stop shop for deporting people who ought not to be here and who are dangerous. Aside from that, its location is very advantageous in that it's in a remote place and it's surrounded by undeveloped wild Everglades, which is filled with things like alligators and perhaps even American crocodiles. And certainly invasive Burmese pythons, which grow to be about 10 to 15 feet in length. So if someone were to try escaping, they would likely become, they'd be eaten by a gator or a crocodile or just swallowed whole by a python.
What a contrast, what you talk about, the price and the cost of having a facility like this. But, of course, what is the cost and the price of taxpayer funds continuing to go to illegal aliens in this country? But Tom Holman kind of called out Cuomo, Chris Cuomo on News Nation, and he said, wait a minute. He said, you had the Biden administration putting illegal aliens in New York City hotel rooms for like $500 a night, but now you claim to be concerned about the cost here?
Well, and I would say this. The facility that they built is similar to what gets constructed by the U.S. military when they're building forward operating bases in war zones. I've stayed in some of them. They're comfortable. They're air-conditioned. This place specifically is rated to withstand a Category 2 hurricane winds, which is important while you're in Florida, right? I guess perhaps next to a five-star Manhattan hotel, it might be seemed inhospitable, but it's certainly not uncomfortable, and it's going to get the job done. I guess if people are expecting five-star hotel accommodations, they're going to need to adjust their expectations.
That's right. There's a new sheriff in town now. You're not getting the five-star hotel.
Climate controlled, and they're going to have access to food and hygiene facilities and medical care. care while they're there, so they'll be safe.
They got it a lot easier than some of those people camping out on a county road in Bozeman right now, you know, it sounds like. It's funny that you mentioned, being overseas with the military. Yeah, I did of course, I was over with the Army myself and, as a soldier, but then I went back on a media tour just for a couple of weeks. And the Air Force, if the Air Force builds the tents, like we had the Red Horse guys out of Great Falls, Montana, with the Montana National Guard. Their tents are nicer than most hotels. Those guys know how to put it together. I tell you what, it was like, wow. I was like, wow, this is a tent. This is fancy.
Yeah, no, they are thankfully, and with the help of a lot of contractors such as Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown and Root and whatnot, our soldiers, our airmen, our troops that were stationed overseas through Afghanistan and Iraq, they were well cared for and well fed, and I'm glad to have heard that. And so much of this type of technology is used in a facility like this. They're only going about 50 miles outside of the center of Miami, so it's not, it's out in the middle of the Everglades, but, it's not the middle of the desert or the middle of the Amazon where they truly are isolated.
Yeah. Well, if you pick up some good alligator Alcatraz swag, T-shirts or hat for us, be on the lookout for us. Eben Brown, Fox News Radio, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
You bet. Take care.
All right. You too. All right. We'll take a quick break here. We got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. There are some cool alligator Alcatraz hats I've been seeing, by the way. I still need a Gulf of America T-shirt. Yeah, I've already got too many baseball caps, but then they keep making so many good baseball caps. It's like, God, I got to go get another one. Like Tatanka Cigars at Rocky Mountain Liquor in Helena. They got some cool baseball caps now. It's like, man, I already got too many hats.
Hey.
Wittick and Zinn with the win. The Montana GOP prepares for the midterms. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that story on our Montana Talks website. Or if you got the app, you would have already seen the news if you got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Plus, as predicted, the Montana congressional delegation helps block the sale of public lands. That one had to be really disappointing for the Democrats. The Democrats were really hoping public lands were going to be sold. MontanaTalks.com.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Oh man, here's another one that just came in. Chris from Manhattan, Montana. So what would we name the alligator Alcatraz of Montana? Chris in Manhattan says the Montana facility should be the Al Zeta Alcatraz. I like that one a lot, the Al Zeta Alcatraz. Those cowboys and cowgirls would do a job keeping everybody under control there. Another one just came in on X as well. Let's see, Michelle. Michelle from Montana, at HaslamMM on X. She says, call it the Rattler Resort, the Rattler Resort. Plenty of public lands in Montana to put a pop-up facility, recruit the retired veterans to staff it. Yeah, the Rattler Resort, surrounded by rattlesnakes is the assumption there. By the way, that got me thinking, they don't have to be all scary names. We could have nice, fluffy names for some of these Montana alligator Alcatraz facilities as well. I mean, you could have a nice-sounding name. You could call it, for example, Sleeping Buffalo. Yes, you and your fellow migrants can sleep under the stars in beautiful big sky country, Montana, at Sleeping Buffalo. We could put up a little facility there. Now, what we won't tell them is this is an open-air facility, and you don't get any bug spray. Enjoy the mosquitoes. 406-294-0970. Hey, speaking of Seiko, let's take you to Malta. We got Jim from Malta on the phone lines. Jim, what's going on? What do you think about the Sleeping Buffalo detention facility?
I like the idea, actually, that, that close to Seiko, the mosquitoes have their, own airstrip over there, so it'd be a perfect spot for them.
Those would be some big prison guards. Those mosquitoes would be bigger than the guy that took down Padilla.
Yes, yeah, and, that old game that you used to play, arcade game, where he called Whack-A-Mole, you know what we like to do with gophers when they escape from their holes up here on the prairie. So it'd be perfect. They wouldn't get too far beyond the fence.
Yeah, that's right. Did you have a name? Did you have a name for the idea as well?
Well, I think along the Whack-A-Mole Reserve, you know, same thing. Be closer up here with those mosquitoes and everything.
And you know, the reserve, the we could call it a prairie dog town, you know, kind of like the prairie dog town that you're Big Timber right now.
I was going to go there, but I wasn't sure if I should.
Well, we wouldn't want to confuse them. You know, we don't want to encourage the type of behavior of how we you know, some people might get confused if we called it Prairie Dog Town and think that it was open season. So then that's definitely taken it a little too far. So, yeah, we don't want to do that. We're just sending them home to where they came from.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you got to remember the Seiko mosquitoes, their evil cousins, the deer flies and the horse flies at Bedouin, dwell really closely, too. So it'd be perfect.
And it doesn't matter how fast you're driving, how fast the boat is moving, how much wind there is. Those horse flies still just latch onto your ankles and just bite the heck out of your ankles, don't they?
Oh, they take chunks. They take chunks.
Yeah. Yeah. My goodness. Well, what did you want to say about the One Big Beautiful Bill as well?
Well, just real quick, you were talking about them Tatanka cigars, and you and I have had numerous conversations about those, but I ordered me another box and was enjoying some of the calves over the weekend and with some good libations. It was lovely.
Oh, so, nice. Nice. Yeah. Apparently those Tatankas are selling like hotcakes. Last time I talked with Ken Weinheimer, he's like, man, I got to get some more labels printed right now because those things are just flying. At Missoula, I know at the cigar shop there, they've been selling like crazy, too.
Yeah, they're great. So as far as the Big Beautiful Bill, I had heard some rumors, and maybe 9 o'clock when you get somebody more knowledgeable and could check into it, even with perhaps Senator Daines or somebody. But it's my understanding that railroad workers, because they fall under transportation, and the FLSA, the Fair Labor Standards Act, has excluded a lot of truck drivers and everything else over the years from overtime pay, I had heard a rumor that it will not apply to railroad workers.
I had a friend in Colstrip who messaged me on Facebook that same thing. Yeah, because railroad workers, I mean, well, they get a lot of protections and kind of benefits that other workers don't get already because of, you know, like the various federal laws that are already on the books. But, yeah, but that's a very good question. Okay, so with the One Big Beautiful Bill exempting taxes or exempting no tax on tips and no tax on overtime up to certain limits, of course. Yeah, that would be I wonder why the railroaders would not be included. Maybe that could be a simple fix that could be added in today or would have to be addressed separately. But, yeah, it would seem like they should be, or, you know, the men and women out there on the railroad should be able to benefit from that as well.
And you think about the tens of thousands of employees across the country that work for the different railroads throughout the United States. You know, I think that maybe needs to be looked into and get a solid answer on that. And if not, let's maybe see why. But, you know, one thing about railroad workers, when COVID was going around, the federal government considered them federal employees. And so, therefore, we're going to mandate vaccinations for all the railroad workers, too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, they were trying to shove that down into the arms of the railroaders, and luckily the railroaders were able to fight it. But it took a lot of effort by people like you and me and our congressional delegation and others. All right, Jim, great to hear from you. I got a number of callers on the line I better get to here. Let's see. Next up, we've got Nancy in Roundup. Oh, let me get the right phone line. Nancy, good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, good morning, and what a show. I'm enjoying the conversation. I get a big kick out of all of this. But I'd like to hear or see a cow patty lounge here in Montana for all these illegal aliens. That would be cool, where the best bread and water is served.
I want to go to the cow patty lounge. I want to, you know, just park my camper out there and shoot some prairie dogs.
Oh, don't shoot those. I love those little things. That's mean. That's meanie. I love those little guys. They're so cute. But anyway, I just want to say that this alligator Alcatraz, you know, when you think about it, it's strategically located because it's closer to Cuba and Haiti and also South and Central America to fly these people out for deportation. And it would be less money to fly them, you know, from the United States, you know, they're from Florida. So it's, I think it's a great idea. I'm getting a big kick. I know I mentioned to you there's a cartoonist named Ben Garrison, and he does live somewhere here in Montana, I think maybe in the western front. And you can Google him, Ben Garrison Cartoon Images. He's got some of the best drawings of this alligator Alcatraz that you can imagine. He's a great cartoonist anyway. I just love him, his work. But anyway, I'm having fun listening to you all. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
You too, Nancy. Yeah, great to hear from you. And I'm looking forward to the next hour of the show as well, to, you know, when we get more friends from small towns in eastern Montana and our friends from Missoula jump in on the conversation as well, because I'm excited to hear their ideas on what we would call the name for the alligator Alcatraz of Montana. I got more coming in on X as we speak, so I'll share some of those later on in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Chris in Columbia Falls, what's going on, Chris?
Yeah, I'll close with a subject. What I saw going on the bypass here in Kelso, the 49ers were a group of people in San Francisco. Couple of books, The Animal Life and Lore or The Destruction of California. He describes how they used to, because I guess they had too much time on their hands, and they used to pit the animals against each other. And the grizzly bear still remained, according to them, supreme. And another tough thing was when I was an apprentice back in the 50s and 60s, the Italians, don't get offended now, the Italians sponsored people, young boys, young men, coming in from Italy, and they would work in the cabinet shops, but they were tough dudes. They couldn't hardly speak English, and they would rip the belt sand right out of your hands, and then you had to sign in now after that. I mean, they were tough kids.
And so what prompted this? Where are you going with this? What prompted this?
I'm just saying that America seems like, I think we were tougher back then. You talk about...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's coming soon now is I saw a logging truck, believe it or not, going on from Kyler, a logging truck going on the bypass. Now, those weren't sticks. Those weren't little toothpicks. Those were big, big logs. So I haven't seen a whole lot of those in a long time.
I'll bet that was a beautiful sight to see. I bet you were happy to see that, huh?
Maybe it's coming a little early. I don't know.
It's like more cowbell, more logging trucks. Make our timber industry great again. Or, you know, kind of like what Chris is talking about there. Let's make America tough again. Boy, we got a tough president of the United States right now, don't we? We got callers on the line. We'll start with your phone calls right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the idea that we shouldn't have billionaires, he said, I don't think that we should have billionaires.
All right, you are a self-described democratic socialist. Do you think that billionaires have a right to exist?
I don't think that we should have billionaires because, frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequality. And ultimately, what we need more of is equality across our city and across our state and across our country.
Equality. This is why I call him Marxist Mamdani, because to each according to his need, from each according to his ability. That's right out of Karl Marx's mouth. And that's exactly what he's talking about with equality here.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Goldco for years now. I am a customer of Goldco, and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one, trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Alice Cooper, host of Nights with Alice Cooper and Alice's Attic, is among the 2025 inductees into the Radio Hall of Fame. In 2011, Cooper was also inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, making him just the second person to be inducted into both, following R&B legend James Brown. And Foo Fighters are out with a cover of Minor Threat's I Don't Wanna Hear It, just after the band's 30th anniversary of their self-titled debut album. The vocals were recorded this year over an instrumental track that was recorded in 1995. And Miley Cyrus is out with a new music video featuring supermodel Naomi Campbell.
Every girl you've ever
heard. The music video comes as Disney announced that the singer's visual album called Miley Cyrus Something Beautiful will arrive on Disney Plus and Hulu July 16th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Got it.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh my goodness, I just saw a couple more hilarious names for the alligator Alcatraz of Montana. Ah, I can't wait till the 9 o'clock hour. I want to share those with you. Plus, I caught up with Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District. I had to catch up with him earlier this morning because they should be in the middle of voting on the big, beautiful bill right now as we speak. And one thing that none of our listeners have gotten to hear yet is what Congressman Downing had to say about the Montana-specific energy priorities that are included in the big, beautiful bill. They just came out of the Senate yesterday, so that's where we're going to start in the 9 o'clock hour and then jump right back into your phone calls. Here we go. We got another Lee in Kalispell on the phone lines. Lee, what's on your mind?
Well, I think we need to talk about the big, beautiful bill. They're talking about how they need to cut things to get it cut down, and they're talking. Biggest thing they said is the entitlements. They're talking about Social Security and Medicare and how it's not going to be solvent in about 10, 20 years or whatever. Well, what do you do when you don't have enough money in the bank? You put more money in the bank. And the way to do that was to just take the lid off of the 140,000, just take that lid off and have everybody pay the thing all the way, whether you're making $1 million or $180,000 or $50,000, whatever, but take the lid off of it so that everybody pays into it. And that would probably fix that up pretty good. If that doesn't quite do it, then you raise the amount of money that you're taking out of everybody's check for Social Security.
See, I don't think we need to pay more. I think they need to spend less. That's my take, but appreciate your phone call, Lee. Speaking of Social Security, I mean, you touched on a big issue here. Speaking of Social Security, this was another big one that I talked about with Congressman Downing earlier this morning. Garrett Brown, who works for actually for Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western Congressional District, shared this new independent analysis that says 88% of seniors will pay no tax on their Social Security benefits under the big, beautiful bill tax cuts. So that is huge news. So unless you're one of the uber wealthy, you will no longer be taxed on your Social Security benefits, which is huge. You've been taxed on that your entire life. You shouldn't be taxed on it all the way up until death once you're in your retirement years as well. That's my take anyway, and I know it's the take of so many of you. And what I wonder, this is an open question that I have, though, is will that now also apply to Montana taxes? Will Montana no longer be allowed
to tax Social Security benefits. Because if our state tax policy is by and large supposed to mirror the federal tax policy, will that apply for Social Security taxes as well? I sure hope. That'll be one to follow up on. All right, just about out of time this hour of the show. Owen in Billings, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, good. Yeah, what's going on? Got about a minute to go.
Hey, I just wanted to pick your brain. The Billings Public Works a while back ago reset their system. And according to my account, or to my recollection here, they owe me about $1,200. And it seems like the Billings Public Works is playing stupid with us, and it's been going on in the news for quite some time. And I'm wondering if you've heard anything. Is there any lawsuits, anything going on?
Oh, good question. I don't see why a lawsuit hasn't already happened. That's a really good question. And that's why I think, you know, when it comes to the election for mayor of Billings, why somebody like Jennifer Owen would be so great. I think the city really needs a strong, business-friendly mayor in particular as well, but somebody who's actually going to kind of hold these agencies accountable. We're out of time. I may not have the answer for Owen and Billings, but Owen, I tell you who might. City Council Member Scott Aspenlighter. Tuesday, put this on your calendar. Next Tuesday, he will be the guest host for Montana Talks. So, hit him up for that show. And he's going to have some great guests joining him that day as well. So, I'll be out that day, but Scott will be in.
United, have fun, and vote yay. That's President Trump's message to House Republicans ahead of a critical vote to give final approval to his tax and spending cuts bill.
It's a great bill. There is something for everyone.
Still, the measure must survive scrutiny from fiscal conservatives and moderates after changes to Medicaid funding and green energy investments made by Senate Republicans this week. And Elon Musk, who helped launch the Department of Government Efficiency, is threatening primary challenges for any Republican supporting the bill. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Hey, if you missed it, we had the chief of the U.S. Forest Service and Governor Greg Gianforte on Monday's Montana Talks. Check out the full podcast on the Montana Talks app on your phone.